Thank you, Jerry, for asking me to teach. Oh, there's a clock, too. It really is a privilege to be able to share God's word. And it's a privilege to be able to sit in this seat, too. To just look around at all you guys. There's a lot of people in this room. And I see smiles. I see people who are hungry. This is the first time all weekend I've gotten to see everybody looking at me. I've seen a lot of people in passing, hugged a few people, maybe kissed a few too. But you guys are excited. I like this. I'm going to take this in for a minute. Eddie, good to see you. All right. So we're going to get into speaking in tongues, particularly in the book of Acts, a little bit. I thought it would be appropriate to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we'll start there. This is one of the rites that Aaron read that we have. And it's also a responsibility that God has given to us. Oh. These are my notes for this teaching. That's good. Okay, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." This is our job. This is why we're here, not just this weekend at Light Bearers, but on this planet. Aaron said we're citizens of heaven, which is absolutely true. But we're still here on earth. And God gave us a job to do. And that job is get people born again, reconcile them, help them get back to God, help them get the Holy Spirit that we have, get all those rights and privileges that Aaron shared about. That we have. We're supposed to help them do that. Let's go to Acts 1, please. Trying to motivate a little bit why we want to look at Acts. You know, and particularly speaking in tongues in Acts, but why do we care if they spoke in tongues in Acts? Does it matter? I think it does. As we see here in Acts 1, verse 8, and this is Jesus Christ speaking to his apostles right before he ascended up. This is the last thing he said. In verse 9, it says, when he'd spoken these things, he went up. So in verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And this is what the book of Acts is about. We read a few records last night of people speaking God's word, taking a stand for God, and boldly proclaiming what God said about Jesus Christ. And then people got healed. People believed. And this is what we're supposed to do. We have the ministry of reconciliation. And this entire book is just filled with experiences of people doing that. What a tremendous example that God has given us that we can look at and see, how do we exercise this ministry of reconciliation? How can we really get down and do it? And that's what this book is about. So, if we want to get better at speaking God's word, let's look at how they did it. I mean, what, all of Asia Minor heard the word in about 2 years? It says that in Acts 19. That's a pretty big place. Has all of New Jersey heard the word yet? We figured out last night that most of New Jersey can fit between Knoxville and Nashville in Tennessee. So, how do we do it? Another interesting thing before we go on, it says, "Ye shall be witnesses." And this is the apostles Jesus Christ is talking to. They saw him. They listened to him. They saw him speak. They saw him heal. They saw him do great things. We weren't there. But can we still be witnesses? How? How can we do that? What have we seen? Well, we've seen that God actually brings his word to pass when we believe it, right? That's a pretty big deal. We can be witnesses because we know it works because we have seen something. Like in a courtroom, right? There's a witness. If you have somebody from across the country who has nothing to do with whatever's going on in trial, they can't really be a witness, can they? Right? Say somebody robs a bank in California. Can I be a witness? I don't know anything about it. Even if I read about it in the news, they're not going to call me to trial. Does that make sense? Yeah. But let's say we have this trial. Did Jesus Christ get up? Can you get born again? Well, what evidence have we seen? How do we know? What do we know? Well, we know what God's word says, and how do we know it's true? Now, God does bring his word to pass, and sometimes I think about this. I think it'd be great if, when we got Holy Spirit, when we believed, God had given us some proof, you know? If God would just give us something, something we could do at any time, anywhere, whenever we wanted, that would prove to us, that would just prove to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ did get up, that we do have Holy Spirit. I think that would be great if he did that for us. That would be nice. So. Who wants to close with a word of prayer? He did. He gave us speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is exactly that, and many other things. It's proof that we have Holy Spirit in the physical realm. You can see it. You can hear it. We didn't see Jesus Christ walk, but we can read about it, and we can prove that he did because we can speak in tongues. That's a big deal. The spiritual man receives spiritual things, and the natural man receives natural things. But we have something in the physical realm that proves that Jesus Christ died for our sins and got up, and that we have Holy Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to be preaching about, right? That Jesus Christ. That's what we talk to people about. That's neat to me. Anyway, sidebar over. So, we're going to look at speaking in tongues in the book of Acts, right? So, there are 5 records in the entire Bible, all of them are in Acts, that deal with the receiving of Holy Spirit. There's only 5. And every single one is in the book of Acts. And in every single one, it is either stated explicitly that the people who received spoke in tongues, or it is implied and by scripture build up, you can't deny it if you know the word of God. Every single time somebody gets born again in the word of God, they speak in tongues. That sounds like a big deal, right? Seems important. So what we're going to do today, or I guess for this little teaching here, probably not the whole day, we're going to look at one record where people receive Holy Spirit, and we're going to see if they speak in tongues. But first, let's talk about all of them really briefly, because there's only 5, right? You know, might as well see what's going on here. Those 5 records are Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, I think we know a little bit about it. Chris read some yesterday. It's the day of Pentecost. This is the first time that man has been reconciled to God since the fall. This is what God has been striving for since Genesis 3:15. This is what he's wanted for thousands of years. Jesus Christ's work is finally accomplished. God has a family again. We have access to him. We have all those rights that Aaron talked about. And what does God mark that by? Yeah. Cloven tongues like as a fire sit upon the apostles, and then they jump up, high-five each other, and do the Cupid shuffle. That's not what they do. You guys said it right. They speak in tongues. That's what God chose to mark this with. I don't know how to do the Cupid shuffle. I don't know if you do. Is it a cool dance? Maybe. But speaking in tongues is cooler. Or something like that. So that's Acts chapter 2. People get born again, they speak in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, Philip goes down to Samaria. And in Samaria, Philip does signs and miracles. The people see this. He speaks God's word boldly. And they believe. But something's wrong. They don't speak in tongues. They don't manifest God's power. And the apostles up in Jerusalem say, well, this can't be right. When people receive God's spirit, they have to manifest. That's what you're supposed to do. So they send Peter and John down. Peter and John see the situation's a little spiritually off. They take care of things, and then what happens? They speak in tongues. Acts chapter 9. The apostle Paul, he receives a little visit on the road to Damascus. And then he decides he's going to serve Jesus Christ. Ananias gets sent by God to help him out, that he can receive spirit and manifest it. And he does. He manifests it. Now, it doesn't explicitly say that he speaks in tongues in Acts chapter 9. But it does say that Paul speaks in tongues more than ye all when he's talking to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:18. He definitely spoke in tongues. And it says that Ananias ministered spirit to him and that he received it in a manifestation. So Paul spoke in tongues. By the way, Acts chapter 8, it doesn't explicitly say that they spoke in tongues either. In 2, it obviously does. But it does say that this guy Simon saw that they manifested God's power. And when he saw that they had received Spirit, he actually offered Peter money for the ability. But that's a pretty cool record. They're all cool if you want to get into them. But he saw it. And what can you see about Holy Spirit? Speaking in tongues. That's what you can see. That's what you can hear. That's the proof in the physical realm that we have God's Spirit. Next one is Acts chapter 10, which we're going to read about. So we won't go over that in too much detail, but the Gentiles get born again for the first time. And the last one is in Acts chapter 19. In that record, Apollos had preached God's word to some of the people at Ephesus, and they get born again. But at the time, Apollos didn't know much about Jesus Christ. He knew that he was the Christ. He didn't know anything about Holy Spirit. So these guys didn't know anything about Holy Spirit. Paul shows up and says, have you guys manifested Holy Spirit? And they say, what Spirit? What are you talking about? And then Paul says, oh, we got to work on this. He tells them about it. He lays hands on them. And then they speak in tongues. And it says they prophesy, too. That's neat. Every single time somebody gets born again, they speak in tongues. Should we desire that for people we speak God's word to? It's proof for us they're born again, and it's proof for them, too. What does that do for your heart? To know beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything you just believed is right. Wow, that's big. It seems big anyway. So, all these records show some different stuff, but when it comes down to it, you got to speak in tongues. If you already do, great. Do it some more. If you don't, you can. God says you can. That's one of the manifestations of the Spirit we have that comes along with all those rites Aaron just talked about. So, Acts chapter 10, please. As we read Acts 13 last night, we read a little bit of a couple other chapters, 2, 2, 3, I think a little 12. God's word kind of speaks for itself. It's neat to see the way they walked. And as we read this, this is a cool record of a man walking with God, believing what God told him to do, and then just doing it. And then when he gets in the situation, he speaks God's word. And what's the result? People receive Holy Spirit, and they speak in tongues. And then everybody knows they got to be born again because they spoke in tongues. That's how it is. Acts chapter 10. So let's look at these things. Since we're here at Lightbearers, let's look at how God works in the situation where these people need to receive Spirit. Let's look at how this guy walks with God, and let's look at speaking in tongues too. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Is there anything else I wanted to say? I haven't been looking at my notes. Oh, that's good. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Makes sense so far, right? Good. That's what we want. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And note here that this guy's not born again yet. He's a devout man. He fears God, but he doesn't know how. Somebody's got to speak it to him. So God sends an angel. But the angel doesn't tell him how to get born again. That's our job. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now, send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. The angel doesn't tell him how to get born again. Angels can do all this cool spiritual stuff, all this crazy magic stuff. We don't understand it. But they can't tell people how to get born again, can they? That's our job. We have the ministry of reconciliation. God committed to us the word of reconciliation. But we're equipped. We can do it. So, let's see. And he lodges with one Simon. In verse 7, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He didn't wait. He found out what God wanted him to do, which was very specific direction, by the way. And he didn't wait. Immediately, he says, you guys got to do this. This guy's got respect for what God says. You can tell he's a devout man that fears God. Because when God tells him to do something, he goes. Right away. God tells Philip to go to a chariot. Philip runs. God tells this guy, hey, send for Peter. Immediately sends these guys, go get Peter. I need to hear what Peter has to say. A lot of respect for God's word in the book of Acts. I think that might help us move the word a little bit. I hope so. So, verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry. I know what that's like. Not the past couple of days, unfortunately. We've been eating a little too well for me to be that hungry. But he's human. He gets hungry. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He's not hypnotized by the beautiful waves on the seashore. He's about to see a vision from God. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. Now, some of us, that would be great, you know. God just says, hey, yo, go kill these animals and eat them. I live with James Wallace from Mississippi, and it's like he gets no greater joy out of life than to kill something and eat it. But Peter says, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter was a Jew, right? They had, back in the Old Testament, they had all these rules that they were supposed to follow, which God had a reason for giving them. But Peter had been living this way his entire life. This is what he did. Now that Christ has come, does he have to fulfill the law anymore? No, Christ did that. We know that, right? But Peter hasn't really figured that out yet. Most of the believers hadn't at this time. They know that they're righteous. But there's still this issue with, oh, we had this law that we've just had for so long. Can we get over what we've been brought up with or trained to think by the world? You know, many of us were raised in the Word, but still. We spend time in the world. It teaches us to think these things. Can we get over that and say, well, this is what God says? God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, I'm good, God. I'm hungry, but no thanks. That's cool. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I've done the law my whole life. Good for you, Peter. That's great. And the voice spake unto him the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, is God trying to get Peter to eat more food and experiment a little more and, you know, just enjoy life, go crazy, eat food? No, that's not why he's doing this. He's trying to prepare Peter, because in a few verses, he's going to tell Peter, you need to go hang out with these Gentiles. And that's another thing that Peter had been doing his entire life, hating Gentiles. That's the way they were brought up. That was part of their culture. That's what they did. They did not like these people because they were dogs to them. They didn't have God's promise. They weren't good people. If you were a Jew, you stayed away from Gentiles at all costs. You avoided them. But God's preparing him. God's working with him where he's at in his believing, in his mind. Does Peter have to fulfill the law? No, he doesn't. Does he realize that yet? Doesn't seem like it. But God's working with him anyway. And that doesn't mean Peter's imperfect. Well, it does mean Peter's imperfect, but that doesn't mean he's a bad believer. You know? We're not perfect. We have areas we need to grow in. But God works with us where we're at. And if we need to speak God's word, God can get to us. That's cool. So, God's preparing Peter. And in verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, he didn't know what it meant. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go for them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. God tells him to go. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I'm the guy you're looking for. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. What did God tell him to do? Go. What did he do? He went. Did he want to? Probably not. He spent, I don't know how old he is. I don't know if anybody knows how old he is at this point. Does anybody know how old he was? Okay. 33.6. 33.6 is how old Peter is, which is older than most of the people in this room. And he's lived his entire life disliking these people. God tells him to go. What does he do? He goes. Maybe I can speak God's word to that creepy guy at the raceway on Route 1. Sure, he scares me, but you know what? He can get born again too. Maybe I should get over the fact that I don't like him and start going to that gas station again. So, verse 23, Peter calls him in and lodges him. He gives him a place to stay. These weren't his people, by the way. He gives him a place to stay. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. He brings some people with him to see what happens, to be witnesses, because he's going into uncharted territory here. He's going to spend time with the Gentiles. So he brings witnesses. That might have been walking with God. I think it was. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, he calls everybody together. This guy's coming to speak God's word. He gets all his friends. Everybody. Not just like, okay, I'm going to sit here in a dark room by myself and hear what God has to say. He gets all his friends. He was meek. He was hungry. And Peter, verse 25, was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Whoa. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I'm also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And this is so, so cool to me. What did God tell him to do? Don't call anything I've cleaned common, and go. That's it. Peter doesn't know what he's supposed to do here. He has no idea. He's just like, he asked the guy, what do I do? What do you want me here for? You know, God didn't give him some crazy revelation. Well, you're going to read this passage from Isaiah, and then you're going to do this, and then you're going to do this. God told him to go. And then he gets there and says, what do I do? You know, we live in a time where we get information in like 10 seconds. You know, if you have a computer at home, you can look up anything on Google, anything that's pointless and that you don't really need to know. And then if you have a smartphone, you don't even have to walk downstairs to use the computer. You can just pull it out of your pocket and find out 10 seconds sooner. We're so used to getting information whenever we want it. But God will tell us what we need to know when we need to know it. And I've read somewhere that God expects us to know things that we can know by our five senses. I think Dr. Whalewell said that. But he gave us senses, didn't we? Maybe we should use them. Now, God's word is truth, but, you know, we can ask somebody, well, what do you need? You know, if we don't have revelation, God put us in a situation. Let's see what we can do. Don't back down. And Peter's not nervous because he doesn't know everything. He seems pretty comfortable to me. He's saying, hey, I'm here. What do you want? I don't know. I might be nervous if I was surrounded by people I really didn't like. I might. If I was surrounded by a bunch of Crips, not that I really don't like Crips, I'm just kind of scared of them. But, you know, I'm just saying, there's a bunch of gang members surrounding me. I might be a little nervous. Peter's not. Peter knows God's taking care of him. He's in this situation because God wanted him to be there. He doesn't know what he's going to say. He doesn't know why he's here. But he knows God wants him to be here. So he's comfortable. He's happy. Good for me. And then Cornelius answers his question. It says, 4 days ago, so you can tell that Peter's had a lot of time to think about this if it's been 4 days since Cornelius sent for him, right? Still not worried. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. I love that. He tells the man of God, you did a good job, you came. That's great. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What had God commanded him to do in Acts 1:8? To be a witness to Jesus Christ. Peter didn't know what he was supposed to do here. But he knows what God has told him to do. He knows what his job is. His job is to represent Jesus Christ. His job is to speak God's word and to help people get born again. I don't know if he gets revelation here or not, but I know this guy tells him, hey, we're here to tell you what God told us, told you. You know, we're here to hear what God wants you to say. It's kind of neat. And he says we're all before God. That's cool too. Again, so much respect for God's word. I've spent so much time arguing with people about God's word. I've met so many intellectuals at college who just want to argue the ins and outs of God's word, and it's such a waste of time. It's kind of fun because you get to see how sharp you are on scripture, but it's still a waste of time. Just read more scripture, and then you'll know it. That's easier. And it's probably more of a blessing, too. But, you know, this guy's meek. He wants to hear, and he's gonna hear, and he's going to receive. So let's see. Verse 34, a great verse in the word of God. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And this is how it starts. The Gentiles are going to get Holy Spirit. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all, by the way. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of him. Oppressed of the devil. That's different. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. That's what he's supposed to be doing, right? Being a witness. Him, God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness. This whole book is about that. Jesus Christ. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how do they know that? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew. And these guys did not like the Gentiles, man. Did they want him to get born again? A lot of the book of Acts after this is all these issues that the Jews have with the Gentiles. They're jealous of the Gentiles. They want the Gentiles to fulfill the law, even though they can't fulfill the law. There's all these issues still after this. But they heard him speak with tongues, and they can't deny that. That's proof. Anybody that knows God's word knows. If you speak in tongues, you're born again. That's it. God's called you. Can we argue that? Can anyone argue that? Anyone? No. That's the proof that God gave us, that we have spirit. That's just so cool. If anybody speaks in tongues, they have to be God's. So, sometimes in life, the devil will try to mess with us, you know? Try to get us to believe things that aren't true. Try to get us to deny our sonship rights. He might tell us, hey, you're not righteous. You suck. Well, you say, you know what? God made me righteous. He gave me his own righteousness. I'm as righteous as him. And I can prove it and speak in tongues. He might tell you, well, you know what? I know God asked you to speak the word, but you don't know that much. You're not eloquent. You can't speak well. You're not adequate to speak God's word. Well, you say, not only did God give me the ministry of reconciliation, he works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then you speak in tongues because that proves it. absolute proof that you're fully equipped. We have all nine manifestations. All nine all the time, some have said. That's kind of cool, right? And you know, if life just seems too hard, too tough, the devil's messing with you again. He says, you can't make it. You're not that good at this. You're not that good at that. You suck at your job. You're not that good at school. You don't know what you're doing. You're no good. You can't make it. It's too tough. There's too much going on. Well, you know what? God says we're more than conquerors in every single situation. God says that we have the victory through Jesus Christ. You know what? We can tell him that even if that's not enough, even though we know we've won already, if that's not enough, someday Christ is going to come back. Hopefully someday soon. And then we're going to spend eternity with God, with Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound too hard. Where's he going to be? Tell him that and then speak in tongues, because that's proof of where he's going, and he doesn't like that. And it's proof of where we're going too. We're going to heaven. So why not speak the word? Why not speak in tongues? Why not prove who we are? Why not help other people to get there? I don't know if I have anything else to say, but that sounds good, right? I love you guys very much. It's a pleasure to see you all.